You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, part of your grind. You're back to work. We're well into the new year now. Stop saying Happy New Year. Don't do that anymore, except for right now. Happy New Year, everybody. We're the Rain and Chase.
Yo, it's a week into the new year. We're not well into the new year.
We're well enough into the new year. Forget it. It's over. We're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales.
New year, new me.
Which you've been saying for 13 months?
Yep.
That's right. Jay King right there. I'm from Mass Live, Jays of The Athletic. Talking about the Celtics today, we're going to hand out tacos later. Our Taco Truck Awards for the best of the past week. Celtics had a practice on Sunday. Robert Williams is really funny, and the Time Lord really sticking to his name. Celtics offense, Brad Stevens talks about it being basically where he expected. And let's start with some injury updates, which Kyrie gave today. And in only Kyrie fashion, it was really funny. I thought it was funny that he said the reason why both eyes got hurt is because it was an offensive rebound, and his eyes got really wide as he was ready to chase the offensive rebound, and that happened to be the time where Marco Bellinelli swiped across his face.
New year, new Kyrie. If this was 2017, 2018, Kyrie's eyes don't get wide. Kyrie probably avoids injury. You know, he's not chasing offensive rebounds with wide eyes in 2017, 2018.
That's true.
But 2018, 2019, he's doubled his offensive rebound rate, and thus he has wide eyes while chasing after those things.
Which makes it just that much more likely. I assume twice as likely because there'd be twice as wide to get raked when Marco Bellinelli, which he also said he went and looked at the video just to make sure that Marco Bellinelli didn't intend to swipe him across the face.
And he said he looked at it a few times, which meant like, yeah, I was strongly considering whether –
like, should
Whether
I be pissed at this? Like, let me go, no, yes. What was that? No. Yeah, he went back and looked at the film and determined it was unintentional, which is funny to me as well. So Kyrie's fine.
Also, the best quote of the day was, I make my living with my eyes.
I'd still say that's the second best quote of the day, because the best quote of the day was from Robert Williams, which we'll talk about later, to me. But I make my living with my eyes was a pretty good one. So Kyrie, so that was his update on the injury. He's fine. Brad Stevens said all signs point to him playing against the Brooklyn Nets on Monday night. So that's fine. Kyrie's good. He looked good when he was in that post-practice shooting contest that he, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier always seem to do after every practice. So he won that. So he seems to be shooting well. He went through the full practice. Kyrie seems to be okay. Marcus Morris seems to be okay, a little less definite. He went through the full practice, but Brad Stevens afterwards and even Marcus Morris said, I don't know. Like, it feels good, but he basically said it feels like he slept on it wrong. So we'll see how he does again when he wakes up on Monday, and we'll have to wait to see his availability. But the good thing is, Jay, that they've been able to manage without Marcus Morris, which he's been such a stabilizing force, but it's been nice that they've been able to manage without him.
Yeah, and going small against Dallas, like, they haven't always been good when they go small this year. And sometimes it's like they're guys, whether it's Gordon Hayward or Jason Tatum sometimes Jaylen Brown, can't always take advantage of like the slow-footed power forward guarding them. And Dallas didn't have a lot of slow-footed power forwards. Like, it was Harrison Barnes for the most part. But they kind of blitzed those guys offensively and just got a ton of open shots. Even when they were missing open shots, it was like one wide-open three after another against those guys. And they were kind of taking advantage of DeAndre Jordan, and they kind of played how a small lineup needs to play, which is gang rebounding and playing just really good offense. And so it was definitely promising how they play without Marcus Morris. When they're down somebody, it's like they play free. They play free and they take advantage of opportunities. And Terry Rozier is so much better as a starter than he is on the bench.
Is he?
Right.
Is he?
To anyone who listened the other day, John and I had this debate, and I wasn't convinced that Terry has been much better or a very different player when he's a starter as a bench, except for his opportunities. But we won't get into that again. Anyway,
but
Celtics,
he's been better. I mean, it's small sample size, but his splits this year have been just noticeably better.
What did he shoot the other day? 1 for 7?
Against Dallas?
Yep.
Season
high 7 assists though.
I don't have that box score in front of me, but I'm currently navigating my way towards his splits this season, and I can tell you that his splits this season as a starter are significantly better than him as a reserve. Of course, it's only four games.
That 4-game sample size is huge.
Yeah, but 4 games as a starter, but he doesn't start that often. So what are we going to do? Wait for 3 years until he starts 34 games? No, we have what we have this season. This season, it's pretty obvious that his true shooting percentage is 65%, 65.2 as a starter, 47.7.
Let's get away from this one.
No,
Snotty Drippin's going to come out my neck.
He is. Snotty Drippin's on my side. That's why I'm bringing it up. His true shooting percentage is nearly 20 points higher as a starter this season than as a reserve.
It's 4 games, bro.
Of course. Oh, duh, bro. He doesn't start very much, bro. That's how it goes.
It's four games, bro.
You have to dig back 2 years to get actual sample size. All I'm saying is it's pretty obvious that
I tried to stay. I was just making a joke. You're going back into it. Let's steer away from this. We've already had this argument.
Fine.
Let's get out of here. Let's dig out of the hole.
Fine.
Yeah, the Celtics have played well lately, and for the first time in kind of a while, they'll have everybody healthy except for Baines. Baines will be the only one. Like, Horford was out of the lineup for a while. Kyrie's been out. Marcus Morris has been out. Some of their best players this season have been out, and they're getting healthy. Not to mention Robert Williams has been out.
Yep, he's been out, and he seems like he's getting close. He went through practice, and he seems to be okay. I think he's questionable for the Brooklyn game. We'll see if he's available. Now, here's the question, Jay. Do the Celtics have an issue? Will the Celtics still be able to run a good offense with everybody back? Will they have problems getting everybody the shots they deserve with everybody healthy? Don't answer yet. We're going to answer that question when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Before the break, I did a very professional thing. I teased the story. And the question is...
That was so professional of you.
There was a very professional thing.
I'm just so proud of your professionalism.
Take notes, Jay. This is how it's done. So, the question is, now that the Celtics are getting healthy and all they need is Aaron Baines back, which he's getting evaluated early this week, and they'll figure out exactly how much time he's got left. But it's a broken bone. Bones tend to heal in 4 to 6 weeks, and that time frame is somewhere within the next couple of weeks. So Baines will be back soon enough. Now, the question about the Celtics offense, which Brad Stevens did say today that the Celtics offense has kind of now, at this point of the season, it's almost at where he expected it to be. But there were some interesting quotes today about the Celtics being able to play with everybody healthy. And Marcus Morris has this quote. "It's probably harder when we have everybody because everybody can't shoot. Everybody can't get the amount of minutes they want. It's just a different feeling when you're out there comfortable and you're playing the amount of minutes you want and taking the shots you want. I mean, that's for everybody around the league. It's just a different feeling." So, and there's Brad Stevens had a quote, Gordon Hayward, which you can read, by the way, on masslive.com on a story I wrote. So go to masslive.com for that. So, Jay, here's my question.
So plug.
Got to plug it, baby. It's a business. Do you think there's any validity to that? Do you think the Celtics are going to have a little bit of an issue when everybody's healthy, integrating everybody and keeping up an offense that has gotten a lot better over the past month or so?
No.
No?
No. No, I don't. I think they'll be totally fine. I think Jaylen Brown has played well for a month plus. Mm-hmm. I think Kyrie Irving has obviously, when he's been on the court over the last 15, 20 games, whatever it's been, they've been absolutely dynamite. Gordon Hayward is, he's going to touch the ball when he's on the court, and he's going to be in a position to make plays. If he's feeling okay, then he's going to be in a position to do that. I see no reason. Marcus Morris has been the perfect complimentary piece. I see no reason why they shouldn't be able to do this. And I understand that some guys are going to have to take a lesser role. Like Terry Rozier is going to have to take a lesser role because Kyrie Irving's coming back. And there are going to be guys who maybe don't see the shot attempts that they did when those guys were out. But the thing the Celtics need to do, like, they need to all just forget about the touches they think they deserve and the point averages they think they should get. They need to just wipe all that out and just go out there and play basketball. Just go out there. If you make the right play every time, the floor tilts to the guy who should have the basketball. And if everyone's making the right play, it all works itself out. So that's their next step. And I think their offense has been really good for the most part for 15, 20 games now. It's the defense since Baines has gone out that has lacked sometimes.
Yeah, their defensive rating has dropped to, I think, what, fourth in the NBA now? They were...
Yeah, I think the last nine games since Baines went out, they're like 16th.
Yeah.
So that's been a bit of an issue, an underlying issue since Baines went out. And not a surprising one, especially when you consider that Morris has missed time and Horford has missed time during that span. Like they've been out, they've been without not only very good defenders, but very good defenders who are bigger guys who rebound the basketball and are normally like reliable, consistent producers.
Who quarterback the defense? I mean, when you're playing defense in the NBA, those guys in the back line are the ones who see everything. They're the ones who can call out coverages. They're the ones who see who's – when you're a guard, you see the guy in front of you. But when you're a big, you see probably at least two or three players on the court, probably four. So when you're Al Horford and very smart and Aaron Baines and very smart, you see things. And this is what made Kevin Garnett – so amazing as a defender. Not just that he was a great individual defender, he was so smart and he could quarterback a defense and get guys in the right position and tell a guy that this is coming, that's coming, be here, be there. So that is a significant problem when Al Horford's out and when Aaron Baines is out defensively. But good thing for the Celtics is their offense has been so good that I think over the past 15 games, it's been top two, maybe just behind San Antonio side note, San Antonio has been amazing offensively, but the Celtics offense has been great. I kind of tend to lean towards you on the having everybody back. I think will be not as big a problem. I think because they have now learned in their new roles, especially Jaylen Brown as a bench player, I think they've kind of figured out a little bit of what you're saying, that the trust that that we've been talking about all season long, like you said, the floor tilts to the guy who's supposed to get the ball. The guy, the ball finds the right energy, however you want to say it. So I think after going through their early season struggles and now having gotten a little bit comfortable figuring out their own selves, Jaylen Brown especially, I think now that guys are going to be reintegrated, I think they'll be okay. I do think they'll be okay. So, but still doesn't mean that it's going to be seamless. I do think there's going to be a challenge, especially for a guy like Terry Rozier, who's so obviously better as a starter.
You're not going to drag me into this. I will not have this debate again. I won't.
Let's get to the quote of the day for me out of this is Robert Williams, who was asked about his transition from college to the NBA. And he said, quote, "This might sound funny, but I literally don't know the days of the week. I promise I couldn't tell you what today is. I forget the days of the week," which is hilarious considering his nickname is the Time Lord. And I guess he just doesn't need the artificial human-made construct of days and time. He just needs to exist on whatever plane he's in at the moment. But pretty funny, but also indicative of how busy an NBA rookie's life can be, because you just go and practice workouts, learning film sessions, games, all of that stuff, G League assignments, all that stuff. It's crazy for a rookie.
Forget an NBA rookie. I've been covering the league for 6 or 7 years now, and I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, no, it's true.
The only reason I knew today was Sunday is because football was on. Like, otherwise, I don't know the days. There was one time, I forget which city it was. I was on the road and went to my hotel room, which was like 7:25 or something. And I went to 7:25 and I'm trying to make the key work, and I'm sitting there for like 3 minutes trying to make the damn key work. And finally someone came to the door and was like, "Sir, this isn't your freaking room." And I've been going to the room number I was in at the previous stop on the road trip. I was like, "Oh man, this is bad." So Robert Williams isn't the only one. Like, it is just a weird lifestyle where games come and practices come and games go and practices go and weeks go by and days of the week don't really matter. It's just like, do they have practice or game? Okay, cool. I'll be there. Just tell me where
I need to be.
Yeah. That's kind of how it goes.
It's funny. He actually said, Williams, later at the end of the same quote, said the same thing. I mix up hotel numbers from the previous. I haven't experienced that yet because this Florida trip is my first road trip.
Oh, it'll get you.
So, yeah, I'm sure. I will say that since I've been back and on the Celtics beat for the past couple months, it's very easy to lose track of days, because when you're working the Monday through Friday grind, like I had been working, the days have a specific feel. Monday is, it's Monday. Tuesday's nothing. There's no feel to Tuesday. Wednesday is hump day. You're like, oh, we're almost there. Thursday is almost Friday, and Friday is Friday. Like, and then you get 2 days on the weekend. It's all very structured. Every day has a very specific feel. When your work has no real set schedule like that, you don't know. You have a day off and there's a game, and 2 days off and there's a game, and it just all runs together. It's very, very easy.
Mike Gorman and Sean Grandy both told me this when I first got on the beat. They were like, "Season's just one long day. Just
it's true.
Get your naps in when you can." And I was like, "All right,
that's true.
It's true. It feels like one long damn day." Then you wake up in like June or July and it's like, I'm out of this day finally.
Yep. It's true. It's very true. So funny quote from Robert Williams, just a little bit of insight of what the NBA life is like. Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, it is Taco Time, our weekly awards. Stick around for that here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We'll be right back. three games this past week since we've last done our tacos. San Antonio, Minnesota, and Dallas. Two wins, one loss. It's time to hand out our weekly awards. And this time, there's really no Kyrie Irving because he only played one game. So we can't give him a taco even though... And even
we could. He's eligible.
He's eligible, but he had a, you know, an okay game.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to put him on, but he's eligible. He's eligible. Just wanted to put out that there that he's eligible.
He is eligible. I'll go first, and I want to make sure that we give somebody the credit that he deserves for being good again after all of the shit Jaylen Brown has taken. He definitely is not getting enough recognition for turning things around. And his past week has been really good. His past month has been very good. And it's really time that if we're being fair and saying that Jaylen Brown early in the season deserved the criticism that he got, we have to be fair and say it's time to put that early season struggles aside and say now he's doing very, very well. 30 points against the Spurs. He had
21 against Dallas.
21 against Dallas, and then a 10-point game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But some really, really solid performances. Jaylen Brown has done very well and deserves the credit.
All right. Next one goes to Gordo.
Yeah.
Gordo. 35-point bomb from Gordo.
Yep.
Then a near triple-double. And really, more than that, more than, you know, scoring all those points against Minnesota and getting almost a triple-double against Dallas, it's the fact that he put two good games, like legitimately good games together for the first time all season. And like that's feels like a step for him. If before it was like one step forward or two steps forward, one step back.
Mm-hmm.
And every progress came with another setback, or not a setback, but just like not a great game. This is the first time he followed up a really good game with another really good game. And so Gordon Hayward deserves the inclusion after two really, really good games in a row for the first time all season.
I could buy that. I could definitely buy that. After that, it gets a little
murky, little murky.
It's a little murky. And we have to decide how we want to dish out the tacos. Are we giving it for just pure excellence, or are we doing something different? I think Terry Rozier is in the conversation for a taco just because in Kyrie's absence, not because he's put up incredible numbers, but even in a game where he didn't score a lot against Dallas, he had 7 assists. He did come up with 16 points against Minnesota, and he had 15 against the Spurs, which was off the bench, which he's, you know, it's very negligible whether he's off the bench or as a starter.
And he got him off to a great, great start against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like that was all him scoring,
yep,
hitting his first five shots.
5 of 5, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so even though his stat line wasn't great as a whole in that game, he really set the Celtics in the right direction.
So I feel comfortable giving him a taco. A guy who, again, he's struggled. It's tough for Terry Rozier. Being real here about Rozier, it's not easy for a guy who's like, what, 25 or almost 25, that he's sitting there looking at, after the playoffs, a monster potential payday. And all he has to do is get through this next season. But he's got Kyrie Irving ahead of him. And Kyrie Irving is probably having the best regular season of his career right now. And he has to sit there and say, well, I'm obviously, there's no way I'm better than Kyrie, so I have to sit here and take this bench role. But he's just not great in that bench role right now. It's just not, whatever the numbers are, he's just not comfortable. He doesn't like it. And he's saying all of the right things. He's being a really good soldier. Like, he deserves a ton of credit for really not rocking the boat. And it's tough when you're in that position, because He knows he's done with the Celtics. Everybody knows he's done with the Celtics. They're going to re-sign Kyrie. Kyrie's going to opt out. Kyrie's going to be a starter here for the next 5-6 years at least. Terry Rozier wants to be a starter. He knows he can be a starter, and that's his goal. So he has to go somewhere else to do that. That's fine. So it's tough for a guy to balance. I need to do what's best for this team, but I also need to do what's best for me, because you're a 25-year-old guy that has to – he has basically – approximately 10 years potentially left in his professional career to make as much money as he's going to make for like the rest of his life. That's hard. That's hard to do. That's hard to balance. So
hard to know you're going to be making millions and millions for your next contract.
But
that's tough.
No,
that really is tough.
It's not, I know you're joking. But like, the difference between $15 million payday versus $10 million payday, that's $5 million.
Yeah, I'd be real stressed about maybe making $10 million, believe me.
You going to be real about this?
You know, I'm real. No. I'm being sarcastic, but I also, like, it is real.
But, like, sure, yeah. On one side, you're like, $10 million, that's great. But when you're done,
the difference is real.
You're essentially done earning real money at 35 years old, and you should live another 50 years. You're going to make that money last for 50 more years. Like, that's hard. I know we're sitting there like, oh man, it's so bad to make $10 million. But at the same time, it's also not really $10 million because taxes.
It's only five.
It becomes five.
It's only $5 million.
But Jay.
No, I mean, I'm giving you crap. You're acting like it's a real hardship.
But the difference
is real. It is real.
It's a significant amount of money.
It is. But I've got no one else on the taco train.
I got one other wild card here.
Wanamaker?
Yes.
I'm glad. I was thinking Wanamaker maybe, but. Yeah, we'll let Wanamaker ride. We'll let him ride.
Yeah, something.
Give the man some tacos.
A margarita. Something.
Give the man some Philly cheesesteaks at least.
I think that's good. It's a guy, like, he's never, ever going to get the opportunity. And he came in and hit two straight threes. He had an assist like in the first, like, what, 2-3 minutes of when he played? That's legit. He came in and gave the Celtics really, really good minutes.
Yeah, he was solid, and he locked up J.J. Barea. Helped lock up J.J. Barea, which, as Celtics fans know, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal
for the Celtics.
He killed him in Dallas. He's the guy that fucking killed him in Dallas. So.
Three steals. He ripped him once right near half court. It was definitely a nice showing from Wanamaker. We haven't seen a lot from Brad Wanamaker this season. Like, Shane Larkin last year was in a similar role, but because guys were injured all season, just ended up being in the rotation a lot of the time.
Yep.
Brad Wanamaker has been in really the same role as Larkin, but has never had to really play many extended minutes because the Celtics have been healthier at that spot. And so we haven't seen a lot of Wanamaker, but whenever he's played, he's been pretty solid. And his performance against Dallas was similar.
Yep, I agree. I agree. So let's give him a taco. Screw it.
Taco it is.
Taco for Wanamaker. All right. That's a good.
Wanamaker a taco.
I was specifically avoiding making that pun.
I will never.
Although I did it on Twitter when he made that three. So
We both did.
Like at the same time, which is weird.
Yep.
All right. That's it, everybody.
I want to make her bad joke.
God. Oh, God. Oh, that hurts me to my core. Despite that, please subscribe to the podcast if you're a new listener. Anything to add there, Jay?
Because of that, please feel free to subscribe as a new listener.
If you're a regular listener, of course, give us that five-star rating.
I want to make her a subscriber.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was waiting for. Give us that 5-star rating, give us a good review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
king.